Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
That's the whole of this. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And they didn't believe him. Either he can't make it happen or he's out and out lying to us. You see, whatever God says, whatever his word is, that's what we're to believe. If Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. If Jesus said, I'm going to the other side and I believe we're going to the other side, then I can deduce this. We're going to the other side and I'm not afraid.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Because we're in the storm and because we're full of fear, we become accusative to the Lord. We say it a little bit differently. I mean, I get it so often. I just can't fathom, Pastor, how he would allow this storm to come into my life. He must not care. But he does. We know that. Notice their response. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I love this. He got up, rebuked the wind, and then he said to the sea, hush, be still. The wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. That's a miracle in itself. Now it's a sea of glass. But notice, he didn't say, now back up, I need room for this. You know, or I'm going to start a process here and it's going to take a while, but eventually you'll be okay. He doesn't do that at all. In fact, all he says, and he's very, very careful about what he says, hush, be still. What do you mean that's so careful? Well, you see, he knew that the disciples knew something. He knew that they understood most of the Psalms in the Old Testament. They recited them their whole lives. Listen to what two Psalms say. Psalm 89, verse 9 says this about the Lord. You rule the swelling of the seas. When the waves rise, you still them. Psalm 107, verse 29. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Same words. Different language, but same words. Now, who is the one in the Old Testament going to hush the sea and still the winds? Only God. Well, who did it in the New Testament? God. You see, this is a great statement by the Lord. I am who I am. You see, the disciples didn't see that at all. They were afraid. They were helpless. He's asleep, but he's in complete control. They cry out their need for help, but they do something else. They accuse him that he doesn't care. By the way, that accusation reveals something about them, their lack of faith, their complete lack of faith. You see, whenever you're in a perfect storm of your life, Jesus is always asleep in the stern. Always. He's right there. He's calm. You see, there's nothing wrong with crying out for help. Nothing wrong with doing that at all. That's why Christ is asleep. He's there. I'm available. Just cry out for help. But they don't. They cry out with an accusation. Timothy Keller says this, if Jesus is who he says he is, there's another way to look at life. If he's the Lord of the storm, then no matter what shape the world is in or your life is in, you will find Jesus provides all of the comfort, all of the rest, and all of the power you could possibly want. But you have to realize who it is that's sleeping in the stern. And they didn't do that. You see, there's nothing wrong with crying out for help. I don't know of very many people that have been in such a perfect storm for so long as Johnny Erickson Tada, as a quadriplegic. I quote her often because she is such a phenomenal example of what righteousness is. But I love this about her, how honest and transparent she is. This is something she writes about her perfect storm. She starts out saying, "Oh God, I often pray in the morning, oh God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this thing called quadriplegia. I have no resources for this. I have no strength for this." But you do. You've got the resources. You've got the strength. "I can't do quadriplegia, but I know I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I have no smile for the woman who's going to walk into my bedroom in a moment. She could be having coffee with another friend, but she's chosen to come here and to help me get out of bed. Oh God, please, may I borrow your smile?" Right in the middle of the storm. The difference between almost no faith and great faith. The storms are always in and of themselves difficult. The perfect storm often seems paradoxical, and the perfect storm is never a problem for the Lord. The third principle is this: perfect storms always have a purpose. Always. Look what Jesus says in verse 40. He said to them, and he says to us, "Why are you afraid?" Wow. Now, what would you want to say? "Hey, look, I'm a fisherman. I'm on this lake. I've never seen anything like this. These are 25-foot seas. That wind must have been 100 miles an hour." Jesus would have none of that. He just asked, why are you afraid? You see, I'm right here. I don't get it. Why are you afraid? You see, and we want to look at the storm and then say, we have all these good reasons to be afraid. He might say, "Perhaps if I weren't here, but I'm right here. Why are you afraid? Now watch. Do you still have no faith? Haven't you seen what I could do? Haven't you heard me speak and make my claims? You see, you have no idea who I am? Why do you still have no faith? Stop looking at the storm. Start looking at me." You see, that was his issue with them. That's what bothered him so much. See, perfect storms always have a purpose. One is clearly to test your faith. Because you have a choice in every perfect storm. For all of us, it's always the same. Fear or faith. Fear or faith. It's the same choice every time for the believer. It's also to build your faith. We get stronger and stronger every time we go through a perfect storm and get ready for the next one. By the way, did the disciples have any more perfect storms to encounter in their lives? Yes. Did they learn from this? They sure did. They learned from each and every one of them. See, if you're alive, there's only three possibilities for you. You're heading into a perfect storm, or you're in a perfect storm, or you're heading out of a perfect storm. That's pretty much it. We call that life. You see, and that's the whole point. These things come on a regular basis. That's so important. Why the storms? Because God knows that we need him, and he knows that we easily forget about that. Those storms shape us. David said this: "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." He then said, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." In other words, the storms strengthen us. The storms change us. That's the wisdom of it all. Randy Alcorn says this, "We see uncured diseases and unprevented tragedies and wonder why God didn't glorify himself by acting. How we yearn for him to crush every manifestation of evil and difficulty in our lives. But power isn't his only attribute. He is also glorified when he shows his wisdom. The power of God is an immediate crowd pleaser. But to appreciate the wisdom of God requires patience and discernment. One day we will be with God, and we will be praising him for his wisdom in not preventing certain evils that he used in ways we could have never imagined for our ultimate good." That's what God does. By the way, one sidebar. The young student that I was talking about had one thing that wasn't admirable when I first met him. He was arrogant. He had a lot of pride. When he went through what he went through and his wife survived, he was different. He was completely different. He was humble. He was contrite. You see, that storm, that terrible idea that I'm going to lose my wife, my children are going to lose their mother, this is going to so affect my service, did nothing but make him better. You see, that's the way God deals with perfect storms. There's something in it for us to learn every single time. Notice it. He doesn't rebuke them like he does the wind. He's gentle with them, but he's asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And then he does something extraordinary. Look what the next verse says. They became very much afraid. By the way, depending on your translation, some of the translations hit it right. They became terrified. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus replaced their fear with fear. You see, the fear of God, the fear of him. They got it. Who is this? You see, what was their failure? Was their failure that the idea that the circumstances were overwhelming? No. Their failure was faith. Faith in what? Well, we skipped it right in the beginning. The key to the whole story. Verse 35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." Now, I don't want to get all Greek and fancy with you. So let me just say it this way. When Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. You see, that's the whole. That's the whole of this. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And they didn't believe him. Either he can't make it happen, or he's out and out lying to us. You see, whatever God says, whatever his word is, that's what we're to believe. If Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. If Jesus said I'm going to the other side and I believe we're going to the other side, then I can deduce this. We're going to the other side, and I'm not afraid. You see, that's such an important part of this whole story. Now watch how this is illustrated. Turn with me in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, and we're going to move to the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 23, and we'll look at verse 11. The Apostle Paul had gone back to Jerusalem. He had brought an offering. The Holy Spirit of God warned him not to go back, but he did anyway. He had such a burden for the Jews, even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He brings back this offering and he goes to the temple and he decides he's going to preach. And he preaches his heart out. And he gets zero converts. None. In fact, he just builds up the hatred of the Jewish community. And they want him executed. He is then rescued by Roman soldiers. Now, in verse 11 of chapter 23, on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at Paul's side, and he said to Paul, "Take courage." He says, "For as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also." Now, those are the words. If we learned a lesson in Mark, what can Paul be sure of? He's going to Rome. Why? God just told him. You see, when God makes a statement like that, you can trust it. Now, unlike the story in Mark 4, you think, well, good, then Paul was like maybe beamed to Rome, you know, and he just showed up there, or they just, you know, he got there in a couple of days, you know. No. Years. Years. He goes through one perfect storm after another. He has to stand before Felix and then Festus and governors and then Agrippa. He has to, each one of them have the potential of seeing him executed. He's standing before them all. Now, you think he's starting to wonder, like, wait a minute. He's steadfast. Then he finally gets on a ship, and that looks like it's going to be great, and then he gets to Malta, and the ship goes down. Now, that can kill you. A shipwreck can kill you. Paul was through in 4 shipwrecks, by the way. But the ship goes down. Now, that's a perfect storm, just like the movie. But then he got out of the ship, and he made it to shore. That's great. Then he was bitten by a poisonous snake. Now, that snake could have killed him, but it didn't. You see, what happens in this scenario is this. God promised Rome, but he didn't promise the absence of storms. Not at all. And in fact, when he gets to Rome, he's in another storm. You see, for us, the days ahead are uncertain. That's called our journey. But our destination, sure. You see, that's what God is saying. Not we're going to the other side. Maybe that way would be the best way. Bill, this is God. We're going to the other side. You see, I know that. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, Bill, so that where I am, there you'll be. Now, I can believe that or not believe that. I choose to believe it. So I know I have safe landing. I know I have safe. I believe that with all my heart. And here's what I know. And when am I going to get there? When he decides. You see, when he decides. That's fine with me. I know where I'm going. And just like with Paul, it may not be immediate, but it could be. But it could take a while. Will there be perfect storms in the mix? Yes. There surely will. And so perfect storms often seem paradoxical. Perfect storms are never a problem for the Lord, and perfect storms always, always have a purpose. And perfect storms are occasions to trust in the promises of God. That's what perfect storms are, an occasion to trust in the promises of God. Look what God promises us. He assures us, absolutely assures us of safe landing. You see, that's a promise. John 10, listen as I read. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's your Lord. Safe landing is promised. You see, I'm going to the other side. You see, I just don't have to go with fear. I can go with faith. So we are assured of safe landing. Secondly, we are assured of stormy seas. As sparks fly upward, they always do. In this world, you'll have great tribulation. As these are the words of Jesus, I know there's going to be stormy seas. Remember in James 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, perfect storms. Consider it all joy. Why? Because these test my faith, refine my faith, and build my faith. That's why I can do that. Read Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and look at the storms that these people went through, one right after the other. So I can be assured of a safe landing, I'm assured of stormy seas, and I'm assured, we are assured that the Lord is on board. You can be assured of that. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's his words again. That means he's not leaving or forsaking. He's there, asleep in the stern. And the fourth thing, we are assured that faith drives out fear. That's what it does. That's what it did for the disciples. By the way, each of the disciples, as they face more and more difficult storms, even to the point of martyrdom, there was one thing they had consistent. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. See, they were terrified in Mark 4. They thought they might drown. But they're not terrified later. You see, that's what he's telling us. He's saying to us that we are assured that faith drives out fear. And so you have one of three responses to this, at least as I see it. One is, you can be one of those people afraid of everything, if that's what you want to do. But I just want to tell you something. You're never going to have the life that you should have lived. You're going to spend your whole life in fear, all the time. So you can choose to be afraid. That's your choice. But there's no reason for your fear. There's a second stage. David uttered the second stage. In Psalm 56:2, David said this, "When I am afraid, I will trust you." Now notice David, he sort of thought about it like we hopefully will think about it. The next time you're in a perfect storm, wow, this is scary, I think I'm going to trust them. That's what David said. When I am afraid, I will trust you. But the third stage is even better. It's the stage that I believe the Apostle Paul was at, and it certainly was the stage that Isaiah the prophet was at. In Isaiah 12 and verse 2, this is when Isaiah said, "I will trust you and not be afraid." You see the difference? When I'm afraid, I will trust you. Isaiah says, no, I will trust you and I will not be afraid. By the way, if you read the book of Isaiah and you read the Chronicles, you get an idea he went through a lot of storms. And if the tradition is correct, he was sawn in half with a wooden saw at the end of his life. Definitely a storm. But he says, I will trust you, I will not be afraid. Perfect storms are often paradoxical. Perfect storms are not a problem for the Lord. Perfect storms always have a purpose. And perfect storms are occasions to trust in the promises of God. I simply want to let God have the last word in this message. So listen as I read from the psalmist in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake and its swelling pride, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Let's pray. Father, I pray for anyone this morning who's in the midst of a storm and they find himself full of anxiety and fear, that the story in Mark is something that can change that thinking. They can choose to trust, to have faith in Christ. Father, I pray for all of us who sooner or later will be in the perfect storm. I pray, Father, that we learn the lesson as Isaiah did, that we go into the perfect storm full of trust because we have an assurance we're going to the other side. We are assured that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We have such great assurance that our faith will drive fear from us. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, which contains so many wonderful anchors for our soul. So many things that we can drop into the water in the midst of the gale and find ourselves safely home. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ made all of this possible for us. In his name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.